Hey guys, welcome to The Ridge. My name is Will. If we didn't get a chance to meet, hopefully we can before you leave today. You're joining us on a journey. We're going through the book of Romans as a church. And so today, 2 weeks in a row, this might be some kind of record for us, one verse sermons. So last week, guys, we did Romans 12:1, this week 12:2. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I don't think if I had 10 hours I could adequately dig out all the gems in this, right? And so we're going to do our best, and we're going to go on this journey together. But before we do, let's pray and get guidance from the Lord. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We submit ourselves before you, the God that is in control, that's outside of time, that's not thrown off by circumstance or trouble or things not working the way they're supposed to or breaking or people acting in ways they're not supposed to. All of that you overcome, you foresee, you foreknow, and you are in control and you are a good God. And in spite of all of that, you've chosen to love us. And so, Jesus, we need your help. We need your Holy Spirit alive in us, Lord. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you dwell up in us, Lord, and fill us anew with you so that we can hear what the Spirit's saying and not just hear what the flesh is saying, that we could be people of God, sons and daughters of the one true King, walking not in our own ability or in striving, but in spirit and in love and in joy and have peace even in the presence of trouble. Guide us as we study your word. Help us to apply it. I say this in the power of Jesus and his name. Amen. Okay. So hopefully you've got your Bibles. If you don't have one, there's one in the pocket in front of you. And here we go. So last week we covered Romans 12:1. And I don't want to leave that behind because I think this goes together. We have a letter here, right, that Paul's writing to the church, well, not necessarily the church, but the Christians in Rome. And so verse 1, he says it like this, Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Remember that from last week? Okay. Now we're going to add another one. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So before we get started, I think it's really important. I need to share this with you. Paul has set the stage here. Everything he's going to talk about, right? Everything he's going to talk about comes back to this idea that you and I are existing, living, walking. All of our hope is based on this, by the mercies of God. That's how he put it. What does mercy mean? What does mercy mean? So if you're new here, I like it when you talk. So preferably you don't throw things, but if you do, we can deal with that too. Mercy, what is mercy? What's that? You get what you don't deserve is grace. Mercy is you don't get what you deserve, right? Why I oughta, you should just, no, it's not going to happen. That's mercy, right? So by the mercies of God, he's talking about that. He threw that therefore in there, right? All this that we learned in Rome, like, this is the nature of sin. Here's what's happened. Here's the coming judgment of God. But good news, God loved you so much, he sent his only son to come to earth to live a spotless life, to die in your place, and not to stay dead, but to be brought back to life for the forgiveness of all your sins, revealing God's plan from the beginning for hope, for salvation, for sanctification, for joy and grace and peace. This is good news. Therefore, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God what? We offer ourselves. Like our everything. We offer that to God, our very being, our very body, our very life. Not to die necessarily, but to be a living sacrifice, right? That's what we talked about last week. And only in that is the holy and righteous sacrifice that we can offer. He doesn't want our sacrificing of things. He doesn't want you to kill your TV set to the name of God. He doesn't want you to kill a spotless lamb. He's not asking you to do that. He wants your life as a living sacrifice. How do you do that? Well, we talked about some ideas, right? But what does that look like? How do I do that? And the reason why I ask it like that is because I'm operating under this assumption, guys. I believe that what it says in the Bible, right, that this was written down by a man divinely inspired by God to show us the way that Christians have lived, not as a story of exceptions, but as a story, as examples of how we can live and operate today, even in a little bit of a different culture. And so this isn't, oh, that's interesting that Paul did that or Peter did that. The truth is, we have examples of people who've come before us who've walked with God, who physically walked with the Lord Jesus, and who walked in the Spirit. So if I'm supposed to do that, how do I do it? Well, we could spend another hour talking about ideas, right? You guys probably have some ideas. But the cool thing about that, in this scripture, he kind of gives us an answer. He goes on to say, here's how you do it. Reggie, here's how you do it, man. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Have you read this before? Have you heard this before? Probably. Yeah, if you haven't, I'm glad you're here. So, sorry guys, I'm going to have to nerd out a little bit and give you some definitions here. So stay awake, okay? I hope you had your coffee. First one, there's this word conform. What does conform mean? Right? So conform would mean comply with rules, standards, or laws. Behave according to a socially acceptable convention or standard. Be similar in form or type. Agree. Some other words that we might use in the place of this word would be comply with, abide by, obey, observe, follow, keep to, hold to, adhere to, satisfy, match up to, meet, fulfill, be in accordance with, stick to, stand by. You get the idea here? Is that enough? Okay. So what we're not supposed to do is do all those things with the world. Oh, man. So you know that. You've heard that, but you need to be reminded, right? Day by day by day, God's walking with us. The Holy Spirit's reminding us. We're going through this book, and he orchestrates it perfectly. So I'm here to tell you, not as one who's like, I got this figured out. But as your brother, as someone that loves you, loves the Lord, and I want to know this more. I want to know what it means, what it looks like to not be conformed to the ways of this world, but to be transformed. So, do not be conformed to this world. What's the world mean? I mean, it could mean the earth, the planet. It could mean the people on here. It could also mean the age or time. And so you look at that, and the age, the time in which you live, is what's directing, and the people are acting accordingly to the time. What kind of things do we see in our culture right now? And not to bully things, but we've got a lot of technology, right? Everyone's on a phone, you know? Everyone's on a phone all the time. We have that. We love certain things, like we watch our TV on streaming devices now, and if you look at that, you just look at what's popular, and you'll see what the world is up to, right? Some months, it's October, so everything's a scary movie right now that everyone's into. Everyone's, you know, way into all those types of ideas. That's what's happening in the world. The world continues to be about money is important, okay? Sex, quite a big deal, right? Looking fit, that's good. There was times where skinny was really in, now buff is in. The world is into that, right? We think, you know, we think youth is more admirable than wisdom and age. Right? This is the world we live in. This is the age that we live in. Technology, right? Cities are growing. You look at our community, there's more and more businesses coming. And more of them are about convenience, whether it's food or cell phones or get some cheese and wine, whatever whatever it is, convenience, comfort, okay? I'm not picking on any of those things. Just observe that. Beards, they're in, which is good, because for those of us without hair in our heads, it gives us some kind of delineation from just forehead, five head, six head, all the way to 35 head, all the way around. This is what the age that we're into. We're going quickly. We're going fast. Well, why is this a problem? Why is it a problem to be conformed to the world? Well, Paul talks about this in another letter. Let me give you another scripture. 2 Corinthians 4. So if you're making notes, write this down so you can look at it. And he's talking to Christians there, once again. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Why am I telling you that? Who is the God of this world? And these are all capitalized letters on this slide, so it doesn't help, but it's a little g God, okay? But that's right, you said it. Satan, all the different names, right? The evil one, Lucifer, the father of lies. He is the small g God of this world. He, without a doubt, and his forces, Hollywood and sports? Yeah. They have, right? And exactly, what you're talking about is some of the symptoms, and what we're seeing is the small g God of this world, which is not our God, which is not the one true God, but the imitator, the liar, the one who's trying to twist and manipulate everything, he is pulling the strings on our age. The same as at their time. Maybe things were a little bit different, but a lot of the same desires drive that. So I think we have to stop. I know that's not exciting. It's not flashy. There's not like a cool prop for that. But we've got to understand that everything that the world, our age, our culture, the people around us offer is not all 100% good. And sometimes when we think we're moving forward, we're honestly moving back from God. You get that? Sometimes we think we're progressing and we're honestly regressing. But I think we need to say that. Yeah.
Actually, what happened in 1963 when they took prayer out of school, took God out of school, they changed the whole world then.
Yeah. Yeah, you see the culture's gone. We can point to all these symptoms of things we've done, right, to take God out of our culture and our world. Yeah, that's a very good point. Now understand this. I think John in 1 John 2 is a great definition of the world. And it says this, 1 John 2, verse 15, if you're writing, taking some notes. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, here we go, here's the list, right? The desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. You see those things, the desire of the flesh, desires of the eyes, the things that we want, that the envy, the pride of life. What we're all longing to do is to be significant and to have a purpose and to be seen. And this is not just our age, but all the ages before us. And so what it is this is the world. The plan of the enemy from the beginning is to try to draw us away from the Father. Right? He's doing a great job. He's doing a great job. However, he didn't see Jesus coming. And when he did, he tried to stop him. And then to even make it even worse, he made it worse by actually killing him so that he could accomplish the task. I mean, you know that the forces of darkness never would have killed Jesus if they would have known that they were putting a stamp, putting the lid on, finishing the work that Jesus came to do. They would have just let him live to like 90, right? So here's a question I have for you, and I really have for myself. Ask yourself this. Do I feel the pull of the world of this age on me? do I feel the pull of the world on me? You know, another related question. Am I giving myself over to that pull? Is that weird to kind of ask those questions? See, this should be the examined Christian life. And so as your pastor, as the one God's called you to do this, I think it's important that we can't stop and miss this opportunity. That's why one verse today. Way too many questions. And so let me just ask the Lord this. Lord, as way of example and as a way of cleansing, we really come to you right now and we're presented with this truth from your word that we're not to be conformed to the ways of our age. We don't want to be a people that just separates ourselves for the case of separation. It seems like a balance because we're called to go into the world and share about you, but then we're called to be set apart. And we don't always get that. We don't get the balance often, Lord, but I ask you to search us, Lord. Spirit, search us. Know us. Reveal to each one of us the truth about this in our life. And that question, do you see me being pulled by the ways of this world? And maybe it's more than that temptation. Maybe if we're being honest, we've just given ourselves over to that. Maybe the way that we live is just as the world's asking us to, only we go to church on Sunday morning. Lord, reveal to us, forgive us. Lord, I admit, I confess, man, there's things in this world that really pull from me, and so I admit that, and I confess that it's bad and it's wrong before you, and I ask you to help me as I turn away from that, to continue day by day to walk away from the things of this world that are drawing me in. And I pray that, and I believe it's true because of Jesus and what he did. Amen. See, that's what we can do when we see these things. We can stop. We can agree that what God is saying is true and ask him to help us walk away from it. Because I love to tell you, just because they changed my first name to pastor, that the things of this world don't draw on me. But I'd be lying and I'd be setting a bar that you could never reach. Because I asked that question, but it's almost a dumb question because of course the answer is yeah. If you're being honest, of course, yeah, there's a little pull, a little tug. Even Jesus, the perfect man, was tempted for 40 days. Why was he tempted for 40 days? Because it wasn't tempting to him? No, it was tempting to him. It wasn't like he was annoyed for 40 days by the enemy trying to entice him. No, there was something to that was enticing enough that it could be a temptation. But because he was so one with the Father, so connected in the Spirit, so still that he could resist all that temptation. Well, you and I, we're not always operating in that amount of strength in the Spirit. And so if we've given ourselves over, we've got to stop and pull away from that because we can't be conformed to the ways of this world. Does that make sense? But instead of that, what we're supposed to be is be transformed. And the word means here to be changed, to be different. Are you different? Are you different, you know? Metamorphosis, this is the same root word we get that from, you know? Caterpillar to butterfly, is that you? Or are you a caterpillar with a Bible now and you're still looking and acting like a caterpillar but you climb on a Bible now? I mean, that's great if you do, but until you submit yourself to be transformed, you won't get your wings. You won't be free. Don't agree with the world, but be changed. Second Corinthians 3:18. Paul's telling believers, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed, there's that word again, into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You see, you don't will yourself to be transformed. You get that? The best you can do is submit yourself to be transformed, to walk away from the world and submit yourself to be transformed. But it's the Holy Spirit is the one who transforms. And that's why I'm telling you, we need to be praying about this. And how we're transformed, it says right here, by the renewal of our mind. The renewal, the word here, renovation, renew, to complete a change for a better, like a positive change. You're being renewed. That which was tired is restored. That which was taken is brought back, right? You are being made new and different and improved for better purposes. See, this is where it falls apart. Jim, to be honest with you, that just makes me think I want to try harder, if I'm honest, doesn't it? Gosh. That's why I like going through a book of the Bible verse by verse. It's not the only way to do it, but honestly, I probably wouldn't pick this because it's hard for me. To be honest with you, I grew up in church, and I've learned to try really hard. I try hard at everything in life, and I burn myself out. The only problem is everything good, everything pure, everything right comes from God, not from me. The one who's going to save me, if I make it to heaven, the only way I do that is because of Jesus. If I can be a good husband or friend, it's only because of Jesus in me. If I can be a pastor, it's only because Jesus in me. But yet, every day, I want it to be something I can do. Like some caterpillar that just squinches till it becomes a butter. It just doesn't happen that way. You don't transform yourself. I like the way Paul said it, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Day by day, I look more like someone's dad that I grew up with. You know what I'm saying? Right? You guys feel that? Like, oh, and your friends? That looks like somebody's dad. What? How did this happen? Day by day, the outside, you got wrinkles where you didn't before, right? Gravity's catching up to you, you know? Your muscles are sore when you get up. You know, the people you know, you stand up, things crack that weren't there. You're decaying outside, so you better be being renewed day by day inside, right? In the spirit, and you can only do that by submitting to that. And then he goes on to say, right, in Romans 12, that the way that we're being transformed, the way that we're being renewed in our mind, you know, not only is it through the Spirit, but that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. What's that mean? First of all, something that popped out is the will of God. Do you wish you knew the will of God? I mean, we our Christian answers, right? The ones for the little Bible stickers are yes. Yes, God. I just want to know your will. And then we get some of his will, and we don't honestly like what he tells us, right? The will of God. I mean, everyone who's sick wants to get better. No one wants to hear the will of God is that they don't get better. Everyone wants their life to be more comfortable, but maybe the will of God isn't that it's comfortable, you know. And so it leads us to that question, what is the will of God? And this can be challenging, okay? This can be challenging because we've not grown up in a lot of us, not all of us, have not grown up in a faith tradition where you have a conversational intimacy with God, where you pray and you listen as much as you talk. Most of us talk with God like we're ordering fast food. You know, I'd like this and this and this. Thank you very much. Right? And I'm not saying that to say that to you guys, but because up to, you know, even a decade ago, that's kind of how I lived. And that can become a challenge because what do you do with things? Like, which job? I mean, are you guys in the right job? If you have a job? I don't know. It doesn't say in the Bible. You know? It didn't say, Sue shall work for the YBA. You know, it did not say that in the Bible. You know, man, I'm dating this girl. Should we get married? I don't know. You know, are you living in the right place? Is God asking you to move? I don't know. Is this the church you're supposed to go to, the place where you can connect and serve? I don't know. What is your will, God? Will the ailment that I have get better? I don't know. Will the relationship that's strained get better? I don't know. What is the will of God? It's a question that we're all asking. And we ask each other, too, like, well, you know, Jim, what do you think God wants me to do about this? And oftentimes, we're just looking for to be, kind of appeased and pleased. And, yeah, I'm sure God is fine with you doing this or making this decision. I'm sure he understands completely when the reality of God's will, sometimes if you gave them God's will according to Scripture, no, I'm good. I don't think you're hearing right. I'm going to go ask somebody else because I need to find the will of God. What's interesting here, and this kind of popped out to me in a new way, and I didn't get this myself. I actually found it on a commentary and on notes that other people who studied the Scriptures found, okay? And when I did, it just came alive because I'm seeing all this and I'm longing, how is it that, one, I can be transformed, right? How is it that my mind can be renewed? And how is it that I can test the will of God? And check this out. This is kind of cool. So the words, that by testing you may discern. This is the Greek word for it. One Greek word that means that. It's like dokimazo is the Prescott Valley way of saying that. For us folks in Prescott Valley with our weird accents and pronunciations. The idea of this single word is only by using or testing something will you find its worth. More technically, to recognize as genuine after examination. Well, I know Reggie might be asking, why is that important? Well, think about it like this. Paul's basically saying to believers, living in a world where not everybody believes, he's like, guys, listen, we've been talking about how good God is. We've been talking about the truth that he's going to come back. He's going to make everything right. He's going to set everything straight. There's going to be judgment. And if you think all the good things that you did, if you think your church attendance and your religion is going to get you away from that, it's not. Like, everyone has sinned and fallen short of becoming everything that God's wanted them to be. And he's like, I know, because I was so good at keeping rules. You know? If anyone could brag about keeping rules or doing things or striving and struggling, Paul could, right? So he's like, man, if anyone could brag about that, I could. But now that I know Jesus, it's all, pardon my word, it's all crap. It's junk. It's garbage. It's trash. All the good things you can do and I can do to get back to God, it's just trash. But there's Jesus, and he came, and he died, and he didn't stay dead. He did what he said he would do. He said he did what all the prophets said he would do. He was risen from the dead, and with that, he took your slavery to sin. You were stuck in it. You were dead in it, but now you don't have to choose to be. You can choose him instead. You can choose for Jesus to pay for your sins and all the guilt and shame that you feel. He'll take that. And that today, this day, you can accept him and have a clean slate and be new. Be brand new. And as a matter of fact, That's a great hope, and that is such a good hope and such a good news story that I and other people around the world will die for it. And that's what Paul's saying. And he goes, okay, now that all that stuff is true, what do you do? What do you do? Because we want to do something, right? He says, here's what it is. You got to lean on the mercies of God. Because I'll tell you what. Every day you're not going to do this right. Not every day. Some days will be harder than others. Some days will challenge your faith. Therefore, you got to lean and you got to build your life on the mercies of God. The fact that even though you deserve punishment, even though you deserve to be far away from God, He's a merciful God and He keeps you close and He'll forgive you. But here's what you can do. Give yourself your life. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about all the money that you have. I'm talking about your physical being. I'm talking about your mind. So your families, your job, your sexuality, right? Everything that you do and say and be, give that to God day after day as a living sacrifice, day by day. And when you're doing that, be careful, because the world is going to invite you to become more like it. But don't agree with the world. Don't join it. Don't love it. But instead, start changing. Let yourself be different and change and renewed by God. And how you'll do it is by trying it. What, Paul? No, how you'll do it is by trying it. And the weird principle that exists here is once you begin to obey God, it's like throughout the scripture, right, guys? He who is faithful with little is given more. You get a little, you're faithful with little, you get more. You guys see that? If you haven't studied the Bible enough, you'll see that. You give a little. So what he's saying is, listen, follow me. Obey my will that you do know. And in your obedience, you're gonna get more. So how does that look? Okay. I can't tell you if the person you're dating is the person you're supposed to marry. The Bible is not really clear on that. So you're going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Does that make sense? And guiding you. And you're going to have to seek that. But I can tell you the person you're married to is the person you should be married to till you die. It is. Anything short of that is short of what God wants for you. But don't forget, you can build your life on His mercy. So if they leave or you've left, then you just have to come before God and say, I know you're merciful. And even though I made a mistake, right? Even though all this stuff had gone wrong, even though we made a mistake and we're not together anymore, I need your forgiveness. I need your restoration. Okay? But you do know that marriage is sacred. So if you're in one now, that's God's will. It's not easy. It's hard, right? I'm married. You know, I have those days too where it's like, yeah, can we get an exception here, God, like to this rule, right? Because we're driving each other crazy. This happens in marriage. But your marriage is meant to be unconditional, not dependent on circumstance for your life. Because it's a picture of God. It's a picture of unconditional love. It's a picture of Jesus and His church. Even though they killed Him, He still loved them. So basically, you can be with your wife until she kills you. Well, then you're dead anyway, so you're free, okay? You know that, right? You know that's God's will. So you walk in that, right? You walk in that. There's the, you know, don't kill somebody. I think we know that's God's will, that we wouldn't kill somebody, right, in murder. So don't do that, right? Like he tells us things like, he talks about how we should love our neighbor as ourselves. So do that. And then what's going to happen, guys, what's amazing is as you walk into this, more and more of his will be revealed to you. More and more life will be revealed to you. More and more transformation of your mind. I mean, how is it? I mean, have you guys seen this? Have you seen this work? How is it that you can be filled up with God's word so you can walk into it? What are ways in which you guys have learned to do that? Because someone across from you might not know. What kind of things do you guys do? If you want to be obedient and you want to find God's will, what kind of things do you do? Okay, I heard her read the Bible. That's a good answer. It's a good answer. It's a very good answer. So you read your Bible. Do you think that's pretty clear from reading the Bible that this is something God wants you to study and that there's a benefit in it? We know that, right? Okay, so why read your Bible? What's that?
To learn his ways.
To learn his ways? What was that? To walk? To walk in it. So you're going to read it and apply it, is what you're saying. Okay? To know him. To know him. Know his character. Yeah, if you don't know God's character, you're not going to know his will, right? Which is a key point because, let's be honest, sometimes you think you know what God wants you to do, and you can be wrong. But his character is the fruit of the Spirit. But if you know his character, you can examine what it is you think he wants you to do. And if that's not God, and that doesn't sound like God, then it's probably not God. Does that make sense? So this is cool, right? Because I think, you know, I don't want to just offer read your Bible every day and it's going to make a difference. But a certain principle is there. You know, have you ever watched things, listened to comedy or whatever? Like, I've listened to enough things over my lifetime that I probably shouldn't have listened to, that someone says something and it triggers a thought in your head based on something you put in there before, right? Right? Anyone else ever use bad language and then you struggle when something happens and that bad word comes out because it's just stored in there? Right? Right? Like, or not in the last 24 hours, no way. Yes, that's right. Okay, so in our world, right, like sexual humor is really funny. Like dirty, inappropriate things, that's funny. Curse words, very funny. Like try to watch an original show on Netflix or something, and apparently the F word's like an adverb and a pronoun now. You just throw that everywhere, and that's the way our world works. And so as that's coming into your head, it's investing in you, it's what's going to come out. So there is that simple principle your dad and your pastor told you, which is absolutely true as much as you tried to fight it. What you put in will come out. And when you need it, right, this idea of hiding your word in my heart, if I don't know your word, I never read your word, I can't store it in my heart, and I can't bring it out when I need it. And so those of us who have learned to get in the Bible, right, and do that on a more regular basis, we're putting stuff in that can really help us if we're going to obey God. What other ways can we know the will of God? Talk with other people? Yeah. There is a principle where we're supposed to exist together in community. God made us that way. It wasn't good for man to be alone. Remember, I read that in Genesis. See? It went in and now it came out, right? It wasn't good for man to be alone. He made us in community. So God can use people around you to help you along the way. It's that word discipleship too, you know? I read that somewhere too, Sue. What other things can we do? Ask him. So that's like that prayer word, right? That's the church word for it, prayer, talking with God. Communications. So you're saying it's not just telling God, but also him communicating back to you. Yeah, right? And so when we take this simple two-word section of Scripture, I think what's really important here, guys, is my heart in this, and what I think God has really put on the elders in my heart here as we go through Romans. It doesn't matter how many days you've been in church. It doesn't matter how many times you've heard this, Lord. If we heard it right before, then I hope you're hearing exactly the same thing you heard before. But maybe he's got something new to add to it, something to help us. And I think that's it. You're hitting it. You You said, you know, ask him. You said, communicate with him. And those are so much better words, honestly, in connotation in the American English than the word prayer, because prayer feels like a one-sided conversation. It wasn't meant to be that way. That's not what it is. But that's what we've learned it to be, so many of us. And that's a shame, and we've got to get away from that. Because otherwise, there's very few things that you know about God's will. In the day-to-day practical things, what do you eat, where do you live, where do you work, who are the friends for you, what's a community for you to be involved in, right? What do you do with your free time, what do you do with your money, right? Some of this stuff is not explicitly detailed and commanded out in Scripture, and that's why Jesus said this, right? Don't forget, Jesus told his disciples. I mean, you get this. Jesus is walking day by day physically with these guys, right? They're sleeping, eating together, traveling together, knowing each other. And he's doing these crazy things, like people are dead and he brings them back to life. Blow your mind, right? He's taking a little bit of food, he's praying, and all of a sudden it's a crazy amount of food and there's stuff left over. He's coming against these Pharisees who seem to be running culture and they can't seem to do anything about it. Someone's sick and they touch him and then they're better, you know? And the thousands of things that aren't written about that we know must have happened. And then he's going to go and they're like, don't go. You're the dude with the food and the healing from the people from the dead. And right? And he's just like, I have to go because something's better for you. There's a better thing coming, and that is the Holy Spirit would live in each and every one of you and would guide you, would not only remind you of everything I've already told you, right, which it did. The Holy Spirit came upon these men. They wrote it in this book, and thousands of years later, we have a good portion of God's will, right, a good piece of it, a good start of God's will written down for us. We have information about his character, who he is. We have information about other believers, where they succeeded, where they failed in following God. It's extremely helpful, but from there, there's further revelation of what you do each day. Who do you marry? Where do you work? What do you eat? Where do you live? What do you watch? What do you sing? Where do you fellowship? Do I dye my hair? Do I let it go gray? Do I wear a wig? Do I shave my head? Right? These types of things might sound silly, but if God if Jesus is the Lord of my life, then he is the one to whom which I belong. And everything about me should matter to him then. And based on the Bible, he knows crazy things, right, about us now that he's risen to the Father. He knows the day I was born. He knows the day I'll die along with you. He knows the number of hairs on each one of our heads. It says he knit us together intimately with his hands in our mother's womb. Like, this is a personal, personal God. And so this transformation idea is not about doing something, but it's about stopping and it's about resting. And then doing what he asks you to do. And then when he asks you to do it, just do that. Be faithful in that one thing. Be faithful in that one thing. Try it on, he says. Test it. This is what I'm supposed to share with you today. Whatever it is, whatever that crossroads is, be faithful in that one thing. One of my current favorite parables is you know, the prodigal son, as most of us call it. And I feel like it's fascinating because it occurred to me some time ago now as you're reading that. You know, the story is the one son leaves. He wants his inheritance. He leaves. He blows it on the world. Okay, it's a great the world story. He basically forsakes his father, his family, his inheritance. He's basically telling, Dad, your whole world, everything that you think's important, everything that you've done is garbage, and I'd rather do things my own way. And then how does it go for him? horribly wrong. Blows all the money, is miserable. And all we know about the story is it's this cool metaphor with God and his children, right? And all we know about this is the son comes back. And the dad doesn't sit like in his chair and wait for his son to come explain why he came back. He doesn't wait for his son to come promise him 1,000 things. He doesn't put him on some sort of son probation period to make sure for 90 days he can stay clean and sober and right, right? He doesn't know who's down the road coming behind him. He doesn't know why he's coming back. He simply knows his son did the first thing. He changed the direction of where he was going, and he started walking back to the father. And how the father responded was so much excitement. He ran to him, right? He kissed him. He accepted him, right? He covered him in something valuable, like a fine robe, right? He gave him the signet ring. Like, he threw a party for him. Like, he was so excited that his son did one faithful thing to turn around and come back. And that's the God that we have, Father that we have. Do not be conformed to this world, but give yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That will happen when you try on God's will. Father, you are that good, good Father, that loving Father who is tremendously patient and loving and full of mercy. And so, Lord, we sit here on the mercy. We build our life. And so, Lord, I ask, Jesus, in your name, that as we're thinking about what was just said, we're thinking about the scripture that's been laid before us, Lord, that for those that you need to speak to about this today, maybe it was that one thing of obedience, that one step he's asking them to make. Would you help us, Lord, to just take that first step in obedience, to try it on, to test your good and perfect will. Thank you for your patience and your love. Lord, I know sometimes that one thing can be super hard, so forgive us for our doubt. Forgive us for our lack of faith. Draw us close to you, Lord, as we turn and we come to you. I believe that this is true and possible in Jesus' name and in his power. Amen.